So we're going to turn to Mark chapter 11 today. Mark chapter 11. And this is the same chapter we were in last week as Christ entered the city triumphantly. And we're going to begin our reading today following that at verse 12. Let us give our attention to God's eternal word. Mark 11, 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. Okay, you see that yet has been added. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. It was a very simple pronouncement. All right, let's go down to verse 20. Down to verse 20. And it was the next morning. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now notice, Peter used that word, cursest. Jesus did not use that word, and I'm going to prove that to you from what Jesus went on to say. Peter said, you simply cursed it. No. Okay, verse 22. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. It was a matter of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now notice, Jesus said, you say to the mountain, be cast into the sea. Now what does that mean? You ever seen a mountain cast into the sea? A mountain of difficulty. Something that's so difficult and impossible to be removed. And how many times the Lord has answered such prayers to remove difficulties that were looming impossibilities. Okay. Now, verse 24, he continues. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, how in the world can you do that? How can you really believe that you're going to have that? If God has said in His Word and spoken His will, then you can pray to Him what He has definitely made known is His will. Remember what Jesus said in the prayer? He said, lead us not into temptation. You face temptation? You can pray that. I'm going to tell you, it is the most amazing thing. Okay? I've seen it happen. Just a prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Isn't the Lord wonderful? I'm going to say this, that, you know, men, you know, we are told that we are of like passions as Elijah was. Elijah was prone to get discouraged. And, I'm the only one left. I'm going to give up. That woman's going to kill me, you know. And we are prone to various passions. And I don't know if any of you men have ever had the temptation to look wrongfully at a female that wasn't properly attired. Good lesson for females, be properly attired. And it helps men a lot. Well, I can remember one day is there was somebody going down this road, walking on the sidewalk, not properly attired. And I immediately prayed, oh God, lead me not into temptation, because I'm sitting at this light. I'm having to wait. And you know what happened? Next thing I know, a big truck pulled up over there and completely shielded my eyes. Hallelujah. So, you pray God's will, what He just expresses in His Word. Okay. Now then, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. He's still talking about prayer. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses when you ask Him to forgive you. You've got to be forgiving. So we end our reading there at verse 26. And we trust that the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts today. Our Lord Jesus was up early on the Monday morning of crucifixion week. He was eager to finish all that was written of Him in regarding the purchasing of our salvation, but not only the purchasing of our salvation, the putting away of sins. What a wonderful putting away. His early rising and departure from that beloved home of Lazarus and his sisters was no doubt so early, it was before they had gotten up and prepared breakfast. So our Lord was hungry. He was a very human man. Very much a human, but also very God. He became hungry and thirsty. He needed food. He needed water. He became weary and He needed rest. He became sorrowful and He wept on various occasions. On that particular morning, He needed some food. So seeing a fig tree in full luxuriant foliage, He approached it looking for some figs. But there was nothing on the tree but leaves. All leaves. Plenty of leaves. It reminded Him, no doubt, of the spiritual condition of His nation. So Christ simply made a prayer and a pronouncement upon the tree as a spiritual lesson to His disciples and to all the generations following. There was nothing of malice, nothing of cruelty in what He did to the tree. He prayed. And we'll look at that context again. It becomes quite obvious as you look. It was a prayer. The Father answered immediately and powerfully, and the tree instantly withered. Matthew points out that it was very obvious, not just the next morning, but it was very obvious right then. This tree's dying. So we will look at these 10 verses with these three words: imposture, immediate, and impediment. Imposture, immediate, and impediment. First of all, under imposture, you see that Jesus sees that tree and it's all covered with leaves, and He goes to it and there's no fruit on it. The hunger of the man Christ Jesus moved Him to the tree, having seen its luxuriant foliage. But once He examined the tree, He saw that there was not a fig on it anywhere. Now we know that Christ did not have to examine the tree to know that it was fruitless. He didn't have to walk over there. He saw another fig tree that wasn't in sight for anybody else to see. A long way off, in John chapter 1, He saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. When the other disciples brought Nathanael to Him, He said, "An Israelite, indeed, in whom there's no guile." And Nathanael said, "How'd you know me?" He said, "Before He called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. You saw me sitting under the fig tree, and you're here?" He said, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Immediately, he was convinced, because Jesus had seen him where a human eye there could not have seen him. He knew he was under the fig tree. Jesus didn't have to walk up to that fig tree to examine it. He knew there was no fruit on it. But why did he do it? It was a deliberate action on the part of our Savior. Christ went and examined the fig tree. It was all part of the lesson, all part of the parable that he was teaching. The fig tree was made to wither because it was a visible illustration of the Hebrew people. Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree. He saw the nation in that tree. All it had was leaves, plenty of leaves, visible leaves, but no fruit. Israel had plenty of the outward forms of religion. They put on a religious show every day. They fasted regularly. They had long prayers. And they did all of these various things. They sacrificed. They had a beautiful temple with all of its celebrations and ceremonies. But the Hebrew nation had no fruit of holiness. They had not the meekness, the gentleness, nor the love. All they had were leaves. It was hypocrisy and pretense that the Lord Jesus saw that characterized the religious nature of the people. No reality, only a mockery of God, only a mockery of the truth of the Holy Scriptures that they possessed. Now, let us this morning not relegate this lesson that Jesus is giving only to the Hebrew nation. Of course, it referred to them. That was the context. But the message is a universal message. God will not tolerate fruitlessness in Israel. Nor will God tolerate fruitlessness in the church. Nor will God tolerate fruitlessness in the individual professing believer. These are the reasons that bring God's judgment upon America this very day. The judgment of God is upon America because of the fruitlessness of the Christian church. It is because of us as individual believers failing to consistently bear fruit unto God. Notice it was not poisonous fruit on the tree. No, it wasn't any poison fruit. It was not drunkenness or murder or sodomy or any things that we consider big. It was the absence of that which is so good and right and fruitful. It may be that you can talk theology, you may take the Lord's Supper regularly, you may be a baptized church member, but all these things can be nothing but leaves unless you have a heart for the living God, unless you have a daily, living, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all leaves. What exactly is the fruit that Christ is looking for in all of us? It is first, the earnest endeavor to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It is also loving our neighbor as ourselves. What does that mean? It means really treating others rightly. It means treating others the way we would want to be treated. I got very convicted of that this week because I was turning God's commandment around. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, I was very subtly in my own mind doing unto others as they had done unto me. Thank God for my wife pointing out to me, you're living by the wrong standard. She's right. We are to treat others as we would want to be treated, but we are to treat others rightly. Loving the Lord is a heartfelt obedience to His law, accompanied with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is not only love, but it is joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. All of these things are to be in a big cluster in our lives to be manifest. Are we always gentle? Are we always manifesting goodness and meekness? And you know, you think about meekness. Moses was the meekest man on all the earth. I'll always say this. Meekness is not getting even when your opportunity is presented to you. Moses didn't say, "All right, you old hussy, it's his sister Miriam, you've been mocking me, and look at you now. You got leprosy, got what was coming to you, girl." Nope. He prayed for her. He prayed for her. Didn't want to get even. But you know, in manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we need help. Don't go out here today and say, "Man, I can do this." We can't do this. We have to cry unto God for grace to live this way. That means continuous prayer. "Oh God, help me to manifest goodness and gentleness and meekness and faith and love and joy and peace and all these things." That's what He expects us to do. To love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our neighbors that way. Wow. It's a big assignment. But notice, fruitlessness is such a terrible thing. Christ did not find the Hebrew nation loving and obeying God and manifesting such fruit. He patiently ministered to His nation for 3 years. And then He gave the parable of the barren fig tree in Luke chapter 13, sometime before this. He had given the parable of the barren fig tree, the fig tree that hadn't for years borne any fruit at all. And the owner of the vineyard said, "Cut it down. It shouldn't cumber the ground." And what did the dresser of the vineyard say? "Let's give it one more chance, one more year. Let me dig around it, fertilize it, and then, if it doesn't bring forth fruit, and cut it down." So the Lord Jesus had already given that long before. And the Lord had been very patient with the fruitless Israel all around Him. And He finally gave them this visible lesson and the prophecy of the withered fig tree. And their withering was going to come. It was getting near to their doorstep. It wouldn't be long. Less than 40 years. 70 A.D., what a withering it was. A nation withered. We have looked at the imposture. Now, secondly, immediate describes the withering of the fig tree once Christ had spoken prayerfully. Now, notice what He says there. Again, I'm going to turn back to Matthew's gospel, let you see it there. It's right here in Mark chapter 11. Look at chapter 21 of Matthew and verse 18. Matthew 21 and verse 18, the same thing. "Now in the morning, He returned to the city, hungered. When He saw a fig tree in the way, He came to it, found nothing thereon and leaves only, said unto it, 'Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever.'" Nothing bad, malicious, or cruel in that. Simply teaching a lesson, praying to the Father. The Father answers immediately. And presently, the fig tree withered away. Didn't have to wait till tomorrow. Peter saw it tomorrow. Yeah. No telling who he was talking to while he was walking along. But when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the tree, but also shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And if it's God's word, you can believe it. If it's God's expressed will for His children in His word, you can pray for that. Because He's already said it, and He'll do it. You hold it up to Him. "Lord, do what You said." Okay. Now, it was done prayerfully. Now, Christ prayed to the Father and the answer was immediate. It was a quick withering. It happened instantly so that the apostles were stunned by the rapid nature of the withering. So the judgment came upon Israel swiftly. When that judgment of God fell in 70 A.D., the nation withered. the withering of an unfruitful nation came just as suddenly as Jesus had shown with this lesson of the fig tree. So you and I need to beware. You and I need to beware. We need to be awake today, and we need to be sure that obedience to God, personal holiness, and the fruit of the Spirit are manifested in our lives, in the way that we live, in the way that we think, lest we wither quickly as the barren fig tree did amidst the judgment of God. And as the judgment of God is upon our nation, we will wither individually unless we are bearing fruit to God. The Lord Jesus was using this instance of fruitlessness to teach the importance of faith in God and the need of constant prayer. We finally turn to the third word, impediment. Notice there, verse 22 of chapter 11. Let's go on down in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything. That's what ought is. If you have anything or ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. He will not hear your prayer. If you're holding grudges, Christ told the astonished Peter that he could see mighty answers to prayer, just like this one. But there was something that could prevent or prohibit mighty answers to prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What is the impediment to answered prayer? Right here in verses 25 and 26. It is nurturing, tolerating a wrong spirit in ourselves. A spirit of unforgiving spirit. If we hold grudges and refuse to freely forgive others, as we are freely forgiven by God, and what a blessing it is to be forgiven so freely and so fully by our Lord God. If we are not forgiving toward others, our prayers will not accomplish any good in regard to the things that we desire. So there's an impediment. Now, this mighty answer to Christ's prayer teaches us several things. First of all, it points out to us the absolute necessity of fruitfulness in our personal life. We may read God's Word for ourselves. We may read God's Word in our home with our families. We may read God's Word in the congregation. But unless the truth reaches into our consciences, it will not produce fruit in our lives. Our confessing and professing the great historical biblical doctrines is just displaying leaves unless these truths powerfully impact us within and then work out into right thinking and right words and right living. Our whole life is vain. Our whole life is useless. Our whole life is nothing but leaves. Unless we are abiding in Christ, as He teaches us in John 15. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You get the message that Jesus gives. Unless we abide in Christ, unless we have this intimate enjoyment of not only a union, but a communion with Him, a daily fellowship with Him, unless we abide in Christ and He produces His fruit in us, then the axe of divine judgment will cut us down just as certainly and just as eternally as the barren fig tree of Luke chapter 13. What a terrible thought. What a frightful reality to wither and to die eternally. Let us pray. O God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus, for His being hungry, for His being touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for coming and living where we have to live in a fallen world, for living perfectly, and for drawing His strength from Thee through prayer, even as we are to draw our strength from Thee in prayer. So, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt make us fruit-bearing Christians. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.